Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 25th of June, recording at 10:12 p.m., and that's British Summer Time, of course. Now, we had a little bit of respite in here today in terms of actual stock market selling, and let me give you a bit of a run here through the major markets. Asia Pacific saw the least improvement because that was following on immediately after the biggest sell-off in Wall Street and Europe that we saw yesterday. The Nikkei slipped a little bit, 0.72%. Hang Seng slightly firmer, but less than a quarter of a point. Australia down about a quarter of a percent. Now, what was interesting, though, I think, and most of these stock markets were were weak. The exceptions were additional exceptions were the India and Thailand. Thailand had a good move, up 1.5%. That was by far the best move there, and that's about it. Now, China was interesting though, because although China closed down a very small fraction, it fell like a stone earlier in the day, first half of its day, and then came back to almost close unchanged. So it broke beneath last year's lows, got into the region of the 2008 lows, and then bounced. It certainly looks quite oversold in the short term. My own view also is that while it's complicated, and I underestimated the extent of the clampdown that we've seen in China, my clampdown, I think, basically on some of these private lending institutions. What I do feel, though, is that as the government attempts to regain control, and it's a form of credit control, obviously, and changes some of their medium to longer term plans, that they're far better off doing that in the first year, perhaps the second year also, in which they're back in which they're in power, rather than trying to do it 5 years or more down the road. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if this doesn't actually help China over the medium to longer term. That's what I actually expect. But it has obviously frightened people in the short term, and it also raises questions over GDP growth, which will also concern investors and business people. And that really spreads across the entire Asian region, given the size of China's economy and its considerable influence. Now, my other stock markets, Europe, which has been underperforming here recently, bounced some oversold bounces here. The percentages aren't bad, but it's not what we would call big eyebrow raising upward dynamics from a deeply oversold position. They are oversold in the short term, but this looks a little bit more like a technical bounce to me rather than the establishment at this stage of new important lows. If we are going to see new if we have seen important new lows, I think we'll get some backing and filling in this area over the next a few weeks, with the lows actually holding. Well, we'll see. Now, in the Americas, Wall Street, the Dow was up 100 points. That was just under, well, it was 0.69 of a percent. The S&P was up nearly 1% and nearly 15 points, taking it to 1588. So a little bit of short covering there. And that carried on right through Canada, Mexico, and Brazil. Brazil up 2% is one of the hardest hit markets around the globe. Now, my feeling is that we can very easily see a bit of a a short covering rally, a bit of a bounce, maybe a little bit of bargain hunting in here. And I think that we've probably seen most of the sell-off that we're likely to get, and some markets may have seen their entire sell-off, but I don't think those include the United States. And I've made this point on a number of occasions that if you look at the weekly charts for the U.S. indices, and they're all fairly similar, but just look at the Dow and the S&P, and I think that after the overextension to the upside that we saw following the terrific rally beginning last November and carrying well into this year, that we are likely to see a bigger reaction than we have seen to date, and I think that that reaction should pull the indices back below the 200-day moving averages for at least a short period of time. And I also feel that there's enough uncertainty regarding the QE, regarding the bond moves and so on, that markets could, once they do stabilize, reach lows. I don't think we're going to resume a bull market, although a lot of people are talking about that right now. I think we're much more likely to see an extended period of ranging overall, as I've mentioned before. That wouldn't be a bad environment by any means, but I'll finish with my on the stock markets with my the advice that I've often offered is don't pay up for things. Where markets have come down and there are shares that you like in some of these returns to 200-day moving averages and where they are finding support, those look interesting. But I would not expect an across-the-boards big move to the upside by any stock market in here. It does look to me like we've seen at least medium-term peaks. Okay, moving on to, and I don't think it's a bear market, certainly not for many. The resources sector has certainly seen a bear trend, but that's the main exception. Here, overall, I'm just looking for a lengthy ranging period, which is something we've been expecting once the QE situation looked like it was beginning to change, that would be a turbulent, somewhat choppy period. Okay, long-dated government bond yields. They weakened in the morning, taking the U.S. ones, those are the most important ones, and are kind of dictating the trend for most of the globe. But we saw in the U.S. this morning, we saw those yields actually come down a bit, but then they picked up and they closed higher. So those yields are still rising overall. And if I give you the U.S. 10, just bringing it up on the chart, and let me give you the close. That yield, it's over 2.6. It's the 10-year yield is 2.608, and I maintain my view that we have seen the low yields for the duration at 30, those 30-year low yields, and that they'll be ranging sideways to higher over the medium to longer term. And I think that 4% is a level that I would expect to see on that 2-year over the next couple of percent. Assuming that growth does not melt away. Now, elsewhere, the currency markets, we've had a firmer dollar for the most part here for quite some time. Today it's a little bit quieter in here, and not much of a change on the U.S. dollar overall. As a matter of fact, it's a little firmer against the euro, which has slipped back to 1.3083. It's a little bit. It's also slightly firmer against sterling, down a little bit against some of the Asian currencies and. Including the Australian dollar, the Asian Pacific currencies. Now, precious metals, which are certainly oversold in the short term, saw a little bit of a rally in here. Let's see, palladium up $8.4. Platinum, I think, did a little better, up over $20. Gold subdued here, down 5, 1277. And silver had a very modest gain, up 7, but it's only at 1959, 19.59. So the precious metals sector is still weak overall, and Owen is producing in his comment today, he's producing that chart of the ETF that I think it's the chart of several ETFs or all known ETFs of gold, I think is what it's called. And that's actually still declining. And until that breaks that downward trend and forms a new sort of base pattern, then I think we want to be cautious here in the short term. But I think there is probably more medium to longer term upside than downside potential in gold. And these other precious metals. The industrial metals, which have been so weak in here today, saw a bounce, and quite a good bounce across the boards. Copper up to 307.06. So, what do we expect here going forward? We might see a little bit further technical rally overall, but then I think we're likely to see most of the lows retested and a little bit more, not least for Wall Street. On that note, all the best to all of you.